I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, and my faith grows stronger, and I learn how to be an overcomer. If you're new to Faith School with us, we're so glad that you're joining us, and these things are very, very real. This is not just positive thinking and trying to create a good attitude. No, the faith of God is a force. It is a force that makes the impossible possible. It is the force that enables the weak to become strong. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So you're in a good place today. So set aside everything. Don't try to do multiple things while you do this. Give the Lord's Word and His Spirit your full attention. You'll be glad that you did. Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking for the anointing, the utterance, the working of your Holy Spirit in every one of us as only you can. Opening our eyes, our ears, our hearts, revealing to us, adding to us, supplying us, Lord, for today and for what's coming. Reveal to us, Lord, your true self and your true will and your real and true plan. We ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Well, for a number of weeks here, we have been on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we've been giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. That's a big statement. It's an all-inclusive statement. And so if you think, well, I don't know about that, well, what is your belief based on? We're giving you 30 great truths from the Word of God, multiple scriptures each one, why we're sure abundant provision is always, every day of your life, every situation you might find yourself in, God wants you and me well provided for. Never does He want you lacking. Poverty is never the will of God. Now, I know some people, they try to say, well, yeah, but there are people in poverty. So if poverty wasn't God's will, nobody would be in poverty. That's flawed human reasoning. That same reasoning, you could say, well, if God wants everybody saved, they'd be saved. No, the Scripture says God's not willing that any should perish. And yet He tells us there are many that are going to perish. So what does that let you know? God is not controlling us against our will. We have a choice. And the choice is not His. He gave it to us. If you ignore Him, if you reject Him, if you don't want to hear anything He has to say or His instructions or will or plan for your life, well, you're doing your own thing. You're going to have a whole different life and a whole different set of results than what He planned for you. And you can try to blame it on Him if you want to, but it's futile. It's your choice, and so your results. But if you're smart, you'll quit that foolishness. Right? If you're smart, you'll go, oh, God, I'm done with that. I want to know your plan. I want to hear your words. Teach me your words, your will. When you confess and say, Jesus is my Lord, that's beyond my Savior. That's Him being in charge of your life. Mm-hmm. That means you're not running your own life anymore. So everybody say this out loud. Affirm or reaffirm your faith. Now don't just parrot me, but from your heart, because you really believe it. Say it out loud. Father God, I do believe in you. Creator of the heavens and the earth. Thank you for giving us Jesus. The Savior of the world. And I do confess Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. And I say, I'm not my own Lord. I'm not running my own life. Lord Jesus, I submit myself under your mighty hand. And I say, not my will, but your will be done. Not my plan, but your plan be done. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to affirm that and reaffirm that from time to time. You know, the Lord didn't forget, but you need to remind yourself, right? Yeah. Who's the big boss? Yes. And it's not you, right? Well, like we said, we've been going over reason by reason why we're sure abundant provision's always God's will for us all. And we're down to number 15 in our study, so we're halfway through the 30 reasons. And this reason is provision in the wilderness. We saw in Deuteronomy 2:7, it said, the Lord your God has blessed you in all the works of your hand. He knows you're walking through this great wilderness, or this great barren, uninhabited place, this great desolation. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked nothing. Like we mentioned before, there's some 1.5 million people, plus all their scores of thousands of head of livestock, and there were no places to get grain, there was no places to get water, there was nothing. Bleak, desert, barren, desolate, and yet, in that desolate wilderness, God fed them. Nobody starved. Nobody died from lack of water. He gave them bread. He gave them water. He gave them meat. He protected them. All those people, all those animals, 40 years. Nobody died from lack. And the Lord keeps bringing up that phrase, in the wilderness, what he did in the wilderness. In Nehemiah 9:19-21, he said, in your manifold mercies, you didn't forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. Verse 20, you gave them your good spirit to instruct them and withheld not your manna from their mouth. You gave them water for their thirst. Yea, 40 years did you sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. God is demonstrating. Now, he could have led them a different route. He could have provided for them through other human beings in many different ways. And he's done that so many times in a much more expected way. But he wanted to do this on purpose to demonstrate, I can provide for you when there is nothing around that you could see or reach out to. The bread did not come from the store or the field or the granary or anybody that had any bread on earth. It came out of the sky. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And it came enough. Do you remember this? This was amazing how that every day they would go out first thing in the morning And when any dew evaporated, there was left this white flake that you could make meal and flour out of, and they make cakes out of it. And it tasted like a nice flour, it said, with honey. So it was good stuff to eat. And where did it come from? Out of the sky. And the scripture said, now you got to remember, 1.5 million people or more. And they would bring it all back to the tent. And when they got through measuring it all out, it was just right. The amounts for everybody to have the meals for the day. How does that work? Every day of every month for 40 years? What's God saying? I don't have to have other connections on the earth. I can provide for you anywhere. It doesn't matter what you have or don't have where you are. There was nothing where they were but desolate desert. And, you know, they were, you know, got hungry for some meat. And was crying about that and complaining about that. And I'm sure that they thought, this couldn't be done. And the Lord told Moses, said, no, I'm going to give you more meat than you know what to do with before the day's over. And even Moses himself said, where are you going to get it? You know? Go with me. Let's look at this just a moment. Let's talk about that. Go with me to Numbers, the 11th chapter. He provided for them in the wilderness, in a place where there was nothing. Numbers 11 and verse 4, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel wept again, and they said, who will give us flesh to eat? We'd say meat. They got manna every day, but they want some meat. And who's going to give us meat to eat? Verse 5, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt so freely, and the cucumbers, and we had melons and leeks and onions and garlic, but now our soul is dried away and there's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And this went on to say, the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof was the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And the dew fell upon the camp in the night, and the manna fell upon it. But they weren't thankful for the manna. They had lost perspective. And you know, this is something that we need to watch. You can become jaded to anything. Every morning when they get up, there is the pillar of cloud out there. Miraculous. You get up in the middle of the night and look outside your tent, there's that fire, pillar of fire burning right there. Every night. Supernatural. Right? Every morning you get up and, well, I guess we go out and get our manna. Right? You know? Where's it coming from? And see, they are complaining about the manna. What would you have if you didn't have the manna, dummy? You're in the desert. Right? You'd have been dead long ago. And they look back wistfully, longingly to good old Egypt. And they're like, oh man, you remember the fish? Oh, the fish, such nice fish. And we had watermelons and cantaloupes and onions and garlic. And you were a slave?
Yes.
Did that little thing miss you?
Yes.
You were a slave. Beaten, mistreated, overworked, malnourished. How quickly they forgot. We should not do this. We should be thankful. We should acknowledge every day of our life. Just take a breath right now. Did you give that to yourself?
No.
Are you making your brain work?
No.
Are you making your heart beat?
No.
Is it your gravity holding your feet to the ground?
No.
Is it your oxygen you're breathing?
No.
Should we be thankful? Should we give
yes.
glory to God
Amen.
And thanks to our God?
Yes.
He didn't just create us. He sustains us every second of our life.
Hallelujah.
Without His grace, the Bible said all things are upheld. All things is all things. I mean, the sun, the moon, the earth, the mountains, the trees, the oceans, us, all things are upheld by the word of His power. His spoken word didn't just bring it into existence. It has to be sustained into existence through every day and every night. That word has to continue to give out power to just keep matter from dematerializing. To just keep the sun burning. It's no small thing. You couldn't keep it burning. Huh? The U.S. government couldn't keep it burning, right? All the powers on the planet Earth could not keep one star burning. He's keeping all of them burning from the power of His throne. Oh, we're talking about Big Daddy, right? We're talking about the Most High God. And yet, they had become jaded and unthankful to a continuous miracle in their midst. Everybody said out loud, Lord, help me.
Lord, help me.
Not to be blind.
Not to be blind.
And take things for granted.
And take things for granted.
And be unthankful.
And be unthankful.
I purpose not to do this.
I purpose not to do this.
So they're complaining. Mm-hmm. And if you skip down to verse 18. The Lord said, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you're going to eat flesh. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. And the Lord said, I'm going to give you some meat, and you're going to eat meat. You're not going to eat meat one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days. You're going to eat meat for a month till it comes out your nose. He's unhappy with them. And he has every right to be. I said he has every right to be. They'd have been dead long ago, or they'd still be slaves in Egypt, or any number of bad things, and they don't appreciate any of it. And they don't remember anything that God has done for them. Every time there's a new challenge, they act like He's never done anything or He can't do anything, and they just immediately go negative and complaining and blaming, unbelieving. The Bible, Hebrews calls it an evil heart of unbelief. Now, we don't want to be like that,
no.
Right? And we don't have to be like that. But you'll have to make an effort, because the entire world around us is full of this evil unbelief. And the entire world around us, and sadly, many Christians, many church-going people, are just negative souls. Anything you want to mention, their first response is, oh, I don't know about that. Oh, I don't think so. No, that's never been done. That can't be done. That's impossible. But He says, no, I heard you. I heard you crying, talking about how good it was back in Egypt. You want some meat, do you? I'll give you some meat. I'm going to give you meat till it comes out your nostrils. And until it's loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord, which is among you. And you have wept, saying, why did we come out of Egypt? Rewind. Why did they come out of Egypt? Because they were so oppressed, and their fathers and their forefathers and their fathers before them for 4 centuries had been oppressed in slavery, and they cried to God, and they said, please, God, deliver us. Get us out of here. And He said, I got you. I'm taking you out. And He sent Moses, and He sent Aaron, and He brought the greatest empire on the earth to its knees. through 10 signs and wonders nobody ever heard of happening before. And they have completely forgot about all that. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Because you asked me to. Mm-hmm. Can you see this?
Yes.
You begged me to. You begged me to. But see, if you are have chosen to be an unbeliever, and I know that sounds, people say, well, no, I wouldn't choose it. Millions have chosen to be unbelievers. Then that's just how you think, and that is your first response, your standard response is, it won't work. Nah, I don't see it. I don't see how. And then you hear all these phrases about, well, when I see it, I'll believe it. Well, that means you'll never believe it, because seeing is too late to believe it. And so then the next thing that comes up, you'll be the same way. Well, when I see it, well, that means you never believe. You never, but you're walking by sight, not by faith. And this is the case with millions of people on this planet. They have chosen to be unpersuadable, unbelief. And it wouldn't matter how many miracles they see. It wouldn't matter how many good things that God does and shows them His love and shows them His ability and mercy. They will never believe. They will always explain it away naturally. They will always make excuses. And the next time something comes up, they refuse to believe. I have to see it. I have to understand it. You have to explain it to me. That is not a good quality. That is not a sign of intelligence. It is a terrible quality. It is an evil heart, Hebrews 3 says, of unbelief. Somebody say, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. So when he said that, verse 21, notice what Moses said. Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and you say, I'm going to give them meat that they may eat a whole month? Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them? Are we going to kill all our livestock that we're taking into the promised land, you know, to have something to multiply, to sustain? Are we going to kill all the flocks and all the herds? Are you going to get all the fish out of the sea to be gathered together for them, to suffice them? See, Moses has been hanging with this unbelieving bunch too long. Huh? It's rubbed off on him. It has. And you got to watch that. If the people you're around, all they talk is we can't and there's no way and it can't happen. It's too big. It's too much. It's too hard. If you hear that night and day, week after week, month after month, and you don't hear something else to combat it, you'll lean that way. And the thing is, if you start talking that way, nobody will notice it. Because everybody else is already talking now, right? You're just, it seems normal. And he said, are we gonna slaughter all the flocks and the herds? Or, you know, he's looking, he's walking beside. He's looking at all the people. He looks out over those 1.5 million folks in all those tents, and he looks at those scores of thousands and hundreds of thousands of heads of cows and sheep and all that, and he says, you'd have to get all the fish in the sea, God, to feed this bunch. Where are you going to get it? Where are you going to get it? And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? You think I'm running out of ability? Moses? You think? Because that's the implication. Where are you going to get it? It would take all the fish in the sea. No, it wouldn't. No. It wouldn't take all the fish in the smallest part of the smallest sea. No. It's just small thinking, unbelieving, limiting. Limiting. And God said, what? You think my ability is coming up short here? You think my hand is waxed short? Does this sound like him saying to Abraham and Sarah and him saying to Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for me to do? Is there anything too difficult for me to do. You think my hand is wax short? You'll see now whether my word will come to pass to you or not. Well, just hide and watch. Right? Verse 31, there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp as it were a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side round about the camp as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. I mean, it's piles of quail this high. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and the next day and gathered quails. Could it happen?
Yes.
Did it happen?
Yes.
Well, there were no quail farms in the wilderness. There were no restaurants, right?
Right.
There was nothing out there. How did he get it there? He said, from the sea. Well, quail don't live in the sea. But he brought them from over there and flew them across there. Hallelujah. And they couldn't conceive of how that could happen. No matter what they could do to try to think, how is God going to give everybody meat to eat, meat for a month? How's he going to do that? And that's what Moses is saying. You want us to slaughter all of it? No, I don't want you to slaughter your herds. You're going to get all the fish out of the sea? He said, Moses, you think I can't do this? You think my power is shortened, it won't be enough to do this? You'll see. Don't you know when they heard the flapping of all those wings? Huh? And they just kept coming, 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 and they landed, and then just piled up, and piled up, and piled up. God said, how about that? Huh? Meat you want, meat you got. Right? Is that something we should learn, and we should understand? Everybody said out loud, God, I do believe that you can. Provide for me. No matter the conditions. I don't have to see how. I don't have to know from where. I trust you. And I will always be well provided for. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, our time's up for today. Come back next time. We'll see more here in Faith School. I've got no.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.